Okay, let the record reflect that we are present in Johnson County, cause number 06521, SM 105568. My name is Edward Leff. It is January 9, 2017. It's about 1:17 in the afternoon. The state has already rested. This is the state of Iowa versus Anthony Edward Miano. The state has rested. It's now a defendant's opportunity to present any evidence if they choose to do so. Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would call to the stand Mr. Miano, Anthony Miano.
Sir, if you please watch your step as you come forward, and before you have a seat, please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Please have a seat.
Good afternoon, sir. Can you please state your name for the record?
Anthony Edward Miano.
Mr. Miano, you're the defendant in this case?
Yes.
And where do you currently live? What town?
Davenport, Iowa.
Could you tell us about any training or education you have received in terms of have you attended any academies or trainings of that nature?
Yes, in 1987 I attended the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department Academy, and in the years 1999 and 2000 I attended the Master's Seminary in Southern California. I've had hundreds of hours of both law enforcement and pastoral training for years.
Did you successfully complete your training with the Los Angeles Sheriff's Office?
I did.
And upon completing the training, what position did you assume?
Deputy Sheriff for the County of Los Angeles.
At that time, were you appointed or assigned to be a chaplain?
That would be later in my career. The last 8 years of my career were spent as both a deputy and a chaplain.
Okay. Did you join the sheriff's office to become a chaplain?
No, I did not.
Why did you become a chaplain?
I became a chaplain because during the first year of my law enforcement career, Jesus Christ saved me, took my heart of stone, gave me a heart of flesh, brought me to the realization that I had sinned against the Holy God, and that I was due the punishment owed me for that sin, and that was eternity in hell. A sergeant on the department explained to me the gospel, that 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin, born of a virgin, as the prophet Isaiah declared more than 700 years before his birth. As God in the flesh, he lived a perfect life in thought, word, and deed. And at a time appointed before the foundation of the world, he voluntarily went to a Roman cross, suffered and died a death he did not deserve, to take upon himself the punishment I rightly deserve for my sins against God, and then forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. And it was at hearing that gospel message that I realized that I was not right before God, that his wrath was upon me. And by his grace and his mercy and his love, he caused me to be born again, and he gave me the gifts of repentance and faith in Christ. And so at that point, my entire life changed. I continued to serve as a deputy sheriff, but my focus on that department was not only enforcing the laws, but to ministering the gospel to my brothers and sisters behind the badge.
Did you receive any training pertinent to that appointment
as a
chaplain?
Yes, I received hundreds of hours of in-service training regarding the chaplaincy. Critical incident stress debriefing was a good portion of that. I was the on-scene chaplain for 10 of our department's line-of-duty deaths. So I spearheaded the ministerial work for those affected by those deaths, including the department members, family members.
Did you ever do, for lack of better words, non-uniform ministry work? Did you ever start that at some point in time?
Yes, I planted and pastored Pico Canyon Community Church in Valencia, California from 1999 to 2002. I've served as an elder in multiple churches. I served with an evangelistic ministry known as Living Waters in Bellflower, California, from 2008 through 2012, and I have been in full-time Christian ministry in one aspect or another since 1999.
You retired from the department?
Yes, in 2007.
Okay. And you now are a member of which church?
Grace Fellowship Church in Davenport, Iowa.
And as a result of that church, has that church authorized you to engage in ministry?
Yes, I'm under the authority of the three elders in my church. As far as my ministerial work on the streets outside the church, I'm accountable to those three men. And they do send me out onto the streets to minister the gospel in a number of different ways.
As kind of a side note, I take note of your voice when I first met you. Have you ever been, for lack of better words, like on television shows, radio shows, or have had any activity, you know, using your, what I would call, talents?
Yes, I hosted a live radio program on a Christian radio station in Los Angeles. I wrote and co-hosted more than 400 live broadcasts online when I was with Living Waters. And I've also shepherded multiple radio programs online.
Have you authored any books?
Yes, I've authored three books, all within the realm of Christian literature.
Do you recall the events on May 30th, 2017 that have been discussed here today?
Yes, I do.
And were you present at the Planned Parenthood on Orchard Street?
Yes, I was.
On that date and time that has been discussed, about 10 a.m.?
Yes.
Why were you there?
Well, as a follower of Jesus Christ, the two greatest commandments in my Christian faith from God are to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. And there is no greater way that I can show my love for God than by telling other people about Him through faith in Christ. And there's no greater love I can show to other human beings than to point them to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sin and salvation.
Were you standing on a footstool on the sidewalk that day?
At the time in question, yes.
Okay. What were you doing immediately before the police arrived? You recall that?
Yes, I was reading scripture verses from my Bible.
Okay. Were you doing anything other than reading scripture verses?
I had a momentary interaction with a couple walking into the Planned Parenthood, where I believe I asked them not to go inside and called them to turn to Christ.
Were you speaking in a volume louder than you are right now?
Most definitely.
And why were you doing that?
Because I wanted the people inside the building to hear me.
Were you intending to distress these people?
No, on the contrary, I was trying to bring them peace. I was trying to bring them hope. I was trying to explain to them that there was hope for them in Jesus Christ, that there was forgiveness of sin. That was my purpose for being there.
Were you trying to create a ruckus on that day?
No, I was not.
I don't have any further questions for you right now, sir. Thank you.
You know, Mr. Miano, I can certainly appreciate your request for a deferred judgment. To my knowledge and to what the state tells me, you have no prior record. And you've, you know, lived your life. You know, you've given service as a sheriff's deputy, you know, now devoted your life to the ministry. You And certainly those things would argue for deferred judgment. But I would think, as a officer, former officer of the law, having been warned that your activity was disruptive, causing distress to people inside Planned Parenthood, having at one point sworn to uphold the law and having, you know, been told that, and, you know, having concern for others, as I think a minister would, that the last thing you would do is go back, and not just go back, but is go back and continue to talk in a volume loud enough to cause distress to the people inside. And, you know, you weren't just standing there, I think, with a placard. You were standing there, peering over the bushes, doing it in such a way that you can direct your words towards the people in Planned Parenthood, even so far as to try and talk people into not going in, and telling them that they should turn their lives over to Christ. And, you know, I can appreciate, you know, your attorney's argument that, you know, you didn't use any kind of swear words, you didn't, you know, call anybody, you know, use abusive epithets and stuff like that. I'm not sure I entirely agree with that. You know, people that are going into Planned Parenthood, okay, you don't have to drop an F-bomb or you don't have to call them other curse words as we would know about it. But essentially telling them that they're sinners and that they should seek forgiveness for their sins, I could certainly see where that would be equally as offensive to people. And I'm not sure I'd put a whole lot of I'm not sure I distinguish the two necessarily. You know, I think some people would rather be called certain curse words than be told that they're a sinner, that they should be forgiveness for whatever they're doing. And there's people going in there for medical care. I understand you're there and you're protesting abortion, and you've got the right to say what you want and do that. But you also, it can go too far, and that's what the disorderly conduct statute does that. And you can't cause distress. I mean, it's not just people going in there for abortion. They provide other health care to people, and those people should be able to go in there and not be caused unreasonable distress. But despite having been warned, you kind of believe that your agenda took precedent over that. You know, you weren't just standing out there with a placard that said, you know, I mean, you see them all the time in town. You know, there's photographs and there's placards and there's anti-abortion signs, and that's fine. But you put your agenda above everybody else's. And, you know, that doesn't strike me as being very ministerial at all. And the fact that you went back there, knowing you shouldn't, that doesn't qualify. That doesn't strike me as somebody that's worthy of a deferred judgment. A deferred judgment, you know, you make a mistake and you're, hey, okay, I come in, I made a mistake. You know, I understand my mistake, and it won't happen again. I think the evidence has shown that's not the case with you. My biggest concern about what to do is what kind of sentence to fashion is what's going to get your attention to not do this type of activity again. I would hope that a police officer coming to the scene, I think several times anyway, and warning you about doing it, at least that's what the evidence showed, that there were several times that they had come out and warned you, that would have been sufficient. You know, and I'm really kind of so that's where I'm at, is what sentence is going to best prevent you from doing that. You know, I think 30 days suspended, as, you know, that the state is asking, well, the question in my mind is do I suspend all 30 days or do I make you go over to the jail and serve a couple days to give you some indication that this, that, you know, we're serious about this? Because warning you once or twice or however many times it was, but more than once wasn't enough. But I think what I am willing to do is I am hopeful that essentially giving you 30 days and suspending all of it, so you don't need to go to jail today. You know, you just will have essentially that threat of jail, that hammer over your head that basically says to you that if you violate the law again, then you're going to have to come back in and do 30 days. I hope that would be a sufficient warning to you. So, I think the state's recommendation in this case is reasonable. I will sentence you to serve ...30 days in jail. I will suspend all 30 days of that sentence. I'm going to order you to pay a $100 fine with surcharge and court costs. Well, there'll be a $35 surcharge, and I'm not sure what the jury costs will be. The conditions of probation are that you have no new law violations. And that you have no contact with anyone at Planned Parenthood or any Planned Parenthoods. And that's not just here in Johnson County, that would be anywhere. Also require you to make sure that you keep the clerk updated as to your address. So that way, if any court appearances or anything come up, they'll be able to send you notice. What I will do, is I'm going to ask the clerk to send the file to me on November 1st of 2018 for review. And basically what that means is that They will send me the file. When I get the file, I will take a look at it to see if you've had any new law violations, to make sure you've paid your fine and costs. I will then send it to the state to give them the opportunity to do any kind of investigation as to whether you've obtained any new charges or anything that I can't necessarily find. And then they will send basically they'll have 10 days to submit something to the court. And then if everything is good, then we would have the authority to discharge you early.
Date again, Your Honor?
November 1, 2018. Thank you. So, I guess if you have any questions about my judgment and sentence, I think your attorneys can explain it. The only thing I can tell you, sir, is that if you violate any of the conditions of your probation, you know, when I say new charges, I'm not talking speeding tickets, traffic tickets. That's not going to count. But if you violate any conditions of your probation, especially if you're having contact with Planned Parenthood, I won't hesitate to send you to jail for 30 days. So is there anything further for the state?
No, Your Honor.
For the defendant?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Miano, I am required to advise you that you do have a right to appeal my judgment sentence. You would have to file a written notice of appeal within 10 days of today's date. I will set your appeal bond in the amount of $650. And if there is nothing else, then we are adjourned.